This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Sonic guns, microwave weapons, and scores of US diplomats falling ill with mysterious symptoms.
Loss of balance, nausea, intense headaches. And the problem was that these symptoms didn't go away over the ensuing days after the incident. They got worse.
Havana syndrome sounds like something from a spy novel. Since reports started surfacing in 2016, many of those affected believe they were targeted by high-energy, secret weapons. The US government publicly doubts that a foreign adversary is covertly attacking Americans.
Immediately felt pressure, and pressure and pain started coursing from inside my right ear, down my jaw, down my neck, and into my chest.
There's been suggestions that Havana syndrome is a classic example of mass hysteria. But now, a new investigation, led by the US TV show 60 Minutes, claims Russian operatives may have targeted the brains of US diplomats with directed energy weapons.
This was happening to our top 5, 10% performing officers across the Defense Intelligence Agency. And consistently, there was a Russia nexus. There was some angle where they had worked against Russia, focused on Russia, and done extremely well.
This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, is Havana syndrome all in the head, or is it the work of Russian spies? Julian, take us back to 2016, when American diplomats working in Cuba began reporting a range of weird symptoms. It became known as Havana syndrome. What symptoms were they reporting, and did everybody experience the same thing?
Most people reported hearing something at the very beginning, like a clicking, but at the same time as hearing this very loud clicking, feeling pressure in their heads, and then a range of symptoms, mostly neurological, loss of balance, nausea, intense headaches. And the problem was that these symptoms didn't go away over the ensuing days after the incident. They got worse and worse to the extent that in this initial batch of people affected, they had to be medevaced in some cases to Florida because the symptoms were so extreme.
And the first reports of illnesses were in Havana, but they didn't stay localized there for long. Where else were reports coming from, and was it exclusively U.S. citizens that were impacted?
It wasn't exclusively U.S. citizens. Some Canadians in this initial batch reported similar symptoms. As far as we know, it hasn't gone beyond that. There aren't any, for example, any other NATO countries reporting significant cases. Britain, for example, has not reported any. So far, it does seem to be confined to almost all U.S. with some Canadians. In terms of geographical spread, it has really been all over the place. There have been cases in Berlin, Vienna, Hanoi, Moscow, and in U.S. territory itself or in the D.C. area, officials have reported similar episodes.
Now, you'd assume that if diplomats or people working in embassies, American military people stationed abroad were experiencing all these strange things, Washington would have been keen to get to the bottom of it. What was the initial reaction coming from Washington, D.C.?
The initial reaction from the State Department and CIA was skeptical, which caused huge amount of anger among those affected, quite a backlash, and also a noticeable drop in recruitment as more of these cases were being reported and the authorities didn't seem to be taking them seriously. And the implication being these people somehow, you know, being subject to hysteria or own imagination, they didn't take that very well. Some of them are toughened CIA officers. And so there was a backlash. And then when the Biden administration came in and new director of CIA, Bill Burns, and the new Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, they promised to take it much more seriously. A Havana Syndrome Act was passed, which A, provided for medical care, and B, was a sort of pledge to investigate thoroughly.
Now, I feel at this point there are as many reports and theories on this as there are people affected in that. But we're talking now this week because there's a new report. And it says that without doubt, Havana Syndrome was an attack on Americans largely, orchestrated by Russian intelligence. Where does this report come from? And how did it reach those conclusions?
Yeah, this was something that was on the investigative TV program 60 Minutes. And it suggested that these attacks had come from a unit of Russian military intelligence that was involved in assassinations and sabotage. And most peculiarly, it was sort of a father and son effort. The deputy director of the GRU, Russian military intelligence, Andrei Avryanov, and his son, Albert. And Albert, supposedly, according to this report, had been spotted at one of these incidents where someone felt they'd been targeted in Tbilisi, Georgia. And what this investigative team did is track the movements of members of this GRU unit and found that they coincided in many cases, times and places where these episodes had been reported. So they believe that this is a non-lethal acoustic weapon that has been developed by Russian military intelligence as part of their destabilization of the West. And they found documentation suggesting that such a weapon had been worked on, and in fact that awards had been given out for work in that field.
There are dozens of CIA cases that have happened domestically that is at least believed. And we're not even just talking about physical manifestation. We're talking about evidence of computer issues in the midst of the incident, where computer screens just literally stop working or go flicker on and off.
This isn't the first time that it's been suggested that Russia was involved. There was another report saying the same thing, but not in that detail in 2020. And all that then would point to some kind of weapon being responsible. I mean, do such weapons even exist? These sonic weapons that can, you know, send rays through buildings to make people unwell. Did the report suggest that the weapons exist?
Yeah, there are various scientists involved in research on acoustic weapons who say that it is possible to create a weapon that sends energy beams that create a sort of percussive injury in people's brains. The dispute is over how small could such a device be made to the extent that it could be sort of smuggled in close to US officials without them noticing. In several of the cases, people have reported there being a van outside. So could such a weapon be made small enough that it would fit in a van and, you know, pointed in the right direction, could cause these kinds of symptoms? It's one of those stories where both possibilities seem really unlikely and invisible. One possibility, as all these people, as I said, you know, tough and CIA and State Department officials who are used to going all over the world and facing all sorts of dangers, could be subject to some kind of mass hysteria where they feel these functional impairments, or that there is this dastardly secret weapon out there capable of imposing this kind of harm. Both, you know, on the face of it, seem far-fetched, but presumably one of them is true. And over time, you know, the sort of trajectory of this story has been really sort of whiplash. Like last year in 2023, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, that's Avril Haines, who is the coordinator of all the US intelligence agency, came out with this redacted report saying that it was very unlikely that these symptoms, what they call anonymous health incidents, AHIs, were caused by a foreign adversary. And so, you know, that was March 23. Everyone thought, okay, well, then that must be the end of that story. And more recently, The National Institutes of Health came up with a report, two reports, saying they saw no alterations out of the ordinary in the brain scans of those people who'd been affected. And that seemed to be sort of another nail in the coffin of the story, that it was a foreign adversary with a secret weapon. But now you have this 60 Minutes report that puts forward a whole new theory. And what that means, if this theory and the work they've done stands up, raises questions about U.S. intelligence. And it's the belief of some of those that have been affected, including former members of the CIA, that there is some kind of cover-up going on, that the U.S. intelligence must know about it, and they're trying to hush it up.
Well, you're in Washington. I mean, how have U.S. officials reacted to this new report? And indeed, what have their Russian counterparts been saying?
There's denial from Russia. In terms of the official response, I haven't seen any direct response that varies from the ODNI report of March 2023. The official line is still that. I haven't seen so far a administration official taking on this report and responding to it in any way directly.
I wonder, is that because, as you say, these reports flip-flop? Last year was different. This year's a different report. Maybe nobody wants to sort of stake their reputation on it right now.
Both, as I say, seems sort of unlikely on the face of it, and it has sort of whiplashed. And of course, there are the politics of it, because there are a lot of disgruntled and very ill former officials, CIA, state, who've had to give up their jobs. And so the suggestion, though, the sort of there's nothing to see here, which was the suggestion of the ODNI report last year, is a very much a political hot potato.
Coming up, I continue my conversation with Julian Borger after this short break.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Well, now, I mentioned there's been a lot of studies into Havana syndrome, and I've been fascinated by one particular one. It was from reading a book by a neurologist, Suzanne Sullivan. She would be consistent with a lot of other psychologists and neurologists who would say that Havana syndrome is a classic example of mass psychogenic illness or mass hysteria. And she defines that as a cluster of strange illnesses that appear to have an organic basis that are shown after further investigation to be psychosomatic fabrication by a close-knit group of people. Most of the time, this finding neither assuages the patients nor resolves the controversy. Hard not to see that as just a description of Havana syndrome. But of course, as you say, you know, these sort of senior diplomats, nobody wants to back down. Nobody wants to say it's psychosomatic, though neurologists would say that psychosomatic illnesses are as valid as any others. They're real for the people that experience them. So what do you make of that?
I think that was a position that was arrived at by the intelligence community with this ODNI. And it is really this new report that posits this GRU unit that is now raising doubts about what had become pretty much the official consensus. And so this is a very direct challenge, this report, by very experienced investigative journalists who are very good and have a track record in tracking these GRU units through use of mobiles, access to databases inside Russia. They have a proven track record. So this is not fly-by-night. This is a serious challenge to the official consensus that it is some kind of mass psychogenic phenomenon.
Julian, there has been the suggestion, certainly put forward by a man called Mark Zaid, he's the lawyer representing several Havana syndrome sufferers, that those in the American intelligence community have been dealing with this issue for decades. In light of the sort of new report, is there anything to back up this claim?
Yes, absolutely. I talked to a former contractor at CIA who experienced something like this in 2006 and believed that it went back to when he was in what he described a foreign country, which is known to be Moscow, when they were doing some work on US embassy buildings, and they felt a similar range of symptoms, and then both fell ill with the same kind of problems. And so there have been scattered reports since then. In fact, all the way back to the 1960s, 1970s, when they found out that the Moscow embassy had been kind of bathed in microwave radiation, thought at the time to have been trying to collect information, electronic intelligence. And that is also one of the theories of the case, or along the way when it's come to Havana syndrome. Is this about some high-tech intelligence collection device that has had side effects against people who've been in the vicinity where these devices have been used? So that was also one of the theories in the case. But these theories and these incidents have gone back for decades.
And has there been any response from people who have suffered from Havana syndrome? Has there any response to this report? Because this report would seem to say, see, there is something real. This isn't all in our heads. This is real. This is Russia attacking America. It attacked us. So have there been anybody come forward saying, yep?
Absolutely. A lot of the people who have suffered, who were very unhappy about the ODNI report in 23, and very unhappy about National Institutes of Health report saying there was no noticeable brain damage, and who increasingly see the authorities, the US intelligence agencies, as being involved in some kind of a cover-up that has meant that their suffering, which is very real, has not been properly recognized as being them as being victims of a foreign attack. So, yes, this new report has very much been welcomed by that community of sufferers. That is quite substantial and quite vocal.
And has it led to the State Department sort of promising to protect its operatives in foreign postings more from this? If this is a valid attack, if attacks can happen like this, is there any measures to reassure American diplomats and so on?
The State Department line is we continue to be alert to the possibilities of any kind of foreign attack, and that we will do our utmost both to investigate and to continue to investigate and to continue to review the evidence, and to also to provide the kind of medical care that at the very start of this whole saga was not provided to state and CIA officials. So there's a pledge to keep on going, to keep on staying alert, keep on providing care. But at the moment, no change in that official position laid down last year said it was highly unlikely to be a foreign adversary.
Julian, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's it for today. For more reporting on world affairs, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by John Casey. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.